Well, we're going to be looking at the gospel this evening, and whenever you look at an happening, if something happened, if I tell you, oh, you'll never guess what happened in Waterford this evening, there are five questions that you would seek to answer in explaining those happenings. They're known as the five W's: who, what, when, where, and why. So I just wanted to use that as a framework to look at the gospel here this evening. And ask those five questions: who, what, when, where, and why. So when thinking about the gospel, first of all, we could ask who. Who? Standard Sunday school answer, anybody? Who are we talking about?
Jesus.
Thank you. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? If we asked him, what would he say? He most often referred to himself as the Son of Man. It's a phrase that means that he is the essence of man. He is fully man, truly man. Everything that it means to be a man, Jesus is. What kind of man? Was he a prominent man? Was he a rich man? He came from Nazareth. His father was a carpenter. He was the son of a carpenter. I don't know if we know any carpenters. We don't have any carpenters here this evening. You might know one. The carpenter's son, he came from Nazareth, but for some reason, kings came from the east to bring him gifts at his birth. In the Gospel of John, John highlights him, Jesus, as the unique Son of God. Jesus taught in John 6, he said, "I've come down from heaven." I don't know any other man who has said that. "I've come down from heaven." He's come down from heaven to do the will of God the Father, the one who sent him. Son of God does not merely mean that God's his Father, but it means that Jesus is the essence of God. Everything that it means to be God, Jesus is. Truly God, truly man, and truly God. You know, we could even look at his name. His name is it's a form of Joshua. Jesus, it means the Lord God saves, the Lord God rescues. He taught that he has come down from heaven, he has come from the Father to do his will. The Lord God rescues. What is a rescuer?
Save people
that are in trouble. So someone on the fire brigade might be a rescuer. Or someone working on the lifeboats might be a rescuer. Someone who finds people who are in danger and rescues them. So that's the who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus. What happened? What's the gospel? Well, Jesus was crucified. He died on the cross. He was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested by the high priest, handed over to the Roman governor, to Pilate, who had him flogged, whipped, and beaten. He was condemned to death by crucifixion. He was nailed to the cross to hang there until he died. But what else happened? What happened after that? 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He got up from the dead. You know, a little bit earlier, Jesus was teaching his disciples in John chapter 10, and he taught them, he said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." That's a bold claim. Not that you have the power to lay down your life. We could say many people have the power to lay down their lives. Thinking of those rescuers earlier, sometimes in trying to save someone else, a rescuer might lose their own life. They say they laid down their life to rescue someone else. But the power to take it up again, the power to being dead, to raise up from the dead, to stand up again. Jesus claimed that he had that power. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to take it up again. The thing is, then he demonstrated it. Then he did it. Jesus also claimed that he could raise others from the dead. In John 5, Jesus is teaching. He says that he gives life to whomever he will. whomever he wants to. He can give life. He says, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, speaking of himself, and those who hear will live again. In the next chapter, in John 6, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I wonder if you ask yourself this question here this evening, or if you might be listening from, does Jesus have the power to raise you from the dead? Does he have the power to give you life? Well, that's the what happened. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. When did it happen? Happened about 2,000 years ago. We have quite a lot of historical records around this. Scholars have landed on two possible dates, one in 30 AD and one in 33 AD. Most folks probably lean toward the 33 AD. But either way, it's about almost 2,000 years ago. Where did it happen? Where was Jesus crucified?
Calvary.
Calvary is just outside of Jerusalem, just outside of the city. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the city of David, because he was a descendant of David. His family fled into Egypt because of Herod trying to kill them. Where did Jesus grow up? He grew up in Nazareth. Nazareth is a rural community. It's in the north side of Israel, the north side of the Sea of Galilee, a very rural area. And Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. Are these imaginary places or real places? These are real places. You can go there, can't you? You can walk around. You can look at it. You can visit it. You can see the site. So we have the who, Jesus, the what, he died and rose from the dead. When? About 2,000 years ago. Where? In Jerusalem, or just outside of Jerusalem, Calvary. Why did he die? Why did he die? Why did Jesus die? For what purpose? It's a question of purpose, isn't it? Paul says in 1 Corinthians that Jesus died for our sins. But what does that mean, for our sins? Well, first of all, what is a sin? A sin is something that is morally wrong. Anything that we think, say, or do which is morally wrong, which is not right, is a sin. Paul writes in Romans 3 that we are all guilty of sin. He says, for all have sinned. So there's not one who is not a sinner. It could be murder, could be stealing, could be lying. Therefore, because of our sin, each one of us has already been condemned. The consequence of sin has already been determined. Sin brings death. Sin leads to death. If you sin, then you will die. Sin brings death every time. Paul writes in Romans again, for the wages of sin is death. You earn death by sinning. It is the right repayment for the wrong things that we have done. Therefore, because we have sinned, each one of us has already been condemned to death. And we will die, and we will stand before God's judgment throne, and we will be cast into the lake of fire, which is called the second death, unless we can find someone to take our place, unless we can find a substitute who will take our punishment for us. Don't know if there'd be any here willing to take mine for me. Unfortunately, you would have your own sin to pay for. You wouldn't be able to do that. We need a sinless one to take our punishment for us. Jesus, remember his name? The Lord God rescues. The Lord God saves. Jesus' death on the cross is that substitutionary death. It's that substitutionary punishment. This is why Jesus died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he bore the punishment for my sin and for your sin. That's why. That's the why. It's a substitutionary punishment. He stood in our place, in the judgment of God. So that is the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. Does it make sense? Is it understandable? Do you understand it? If there's anything that doesn't make sense or you're not quite sure of, please come and ask. But now that you've heard it and you understand it, the question is, do you believe it? Is it true? Is it true? Will the Lord Jesus give you eternal life? Can you rest in the fact that his death on the cross was payment for your sin, and you be reconciled with God? Do you believe it? Jesus said in John 3 that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So do you believe it? Do you trust him? Will you receive this free gift that God offers you? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word, which shows forth the glory of your Son and the work that he has done. Father, we just pray if there are any listening, Father, that if they realize their need for a Savior, that they will put their faith and trust in your Son for his glory and for their salvation. Father, we pray this in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen.